This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello. Welcome back to another issue of Women's Health Magazine. I'm Susie Bartlett. We are beginning with the fitness section called Super Strolls. The simplest human movement is getting a rebrand, and the upgrades mean legit mind and body benefits. She says, I go for walks all the time with my dog or pushing my daughter in a stroller. But to be honest, I rarely return thinking, woo, workout accomplished. I moved, got some steps in, sure, but it often didn't feel as intense or challenging as my other sweat sessions. Lately, though, I've totally rethought that somewhat short-sighted view. Walking has received a major glow-up in recent years with countless hashtags, hot girl hikes, silent walks, 12-3-30, and more taking over social media. The activity has become downright cool. Now, 52% of exercisers say outdoor walking is essential to their general fitness routine, according to MindBody's 2024 Wellness Index. Additionally, in the past few years, with guided classes being offered on major platforms such as Apple Fitness Plus, Peloton, iFit, Adaptive, and Obey, walking has joined the ranks of exercise modalities like strength training, HIIT, and running. The benefits abound. Walking can reduce your risk for chronic diseases, including sleep apnea, hypertension, and gastroesophageal reflux disease, per a study in Nature Medicine. Walking can also decrease visceral fat stored around your belly and reduce the risk for obesity, studies show. Plus, every 500 additional steps a day, over 2,000, up to 4,500 steps, was associated with a 14% lower risk for heart disease, heart failure, and stroke in people ages 70 and older, according to a study presented at the American Heart Association's scientific sessions last year. FYI, you generally won't build as much muscle mass solely from walking, so for maximum gains, don't forget other methods. These healthy boosts aren't just for beginners. Once you learn how to incorporate not just a walk in the park variations into your routine, you'll find yourself craving more sweaty strolls. Knowledge ahead. Gear up and go. Technically, all you need to snag some steps is your body, but these tools will help you hit your stride with any walking trend. Mirach T05 Smart Walking Treadmill. The space-saving pad allows you to do cardio in the comfort of your home, $400 at Amazon.com. Go Ruck Plate Carrier 3.0. The pack keeps the weight high on your back to encourage proper posture when rucking. $115 at GoRuck.com. Leaky Instructor Light Nordic Walking Poles. They strike a perfect balance between lightweight and strong, says Malin Svensson. $160 at Amazon.com. Reebok DMX Comfort Plus. Meet the most comfortable strolling shoe, perfect for treadmill steps or wandering outdoors. $80 at Reebok.com. For building muscle, there's Rucking. Long before social media existed, this loaded variety was a military training workout. Soldiers carried a heavy pack, a rucksack, and logged miles, ruck marching. Think of the practice simply as an extended walk with a weighted pack, says Katie Knight, an online fitness coach and Go Ruck Games champion. The pack, you can purchase a specific rucking one or DIY it, is key to getting the most from the miles. It makes you stand up straighter as you move, and you work different muscles compared to hiking or backpacking. Rucking is a total body workout, too. It uses your core and shoulder muscles, as well as your legs as you carry the load. It also really pays off. The method improves strength in upper and lower body muscles, according to a study in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. After a 10-week period of resistance training and weighted walking, participants gained overall strength in squat jumps, push-ups, and sit-ups. Try it. Start small with a light pack and low mileage. Then gradually increase both as your fitness improves, recommends Knight. You can even attempt rucking at home or at the gym on a treadmill. There are specialty rucking packs that allow you to insert different weight plates and keep them evenly distributed. But you can also just grab a backpack and put in a 5-pound dumbbell, some ankle weights, or a full water bottle. For beginners, 5 to 10 pounds is ideal. Put your treadmill on an aggressive incline between 8 and 12% and walk at a speed from 2.7 to 3.5 for about 10 to 30 minutes, says a Nike running coach. For total body cardio, there's Nordic walking. At its most basic, this style simply involves strolling with poles. Nordic walking originated as a way for cross-country skiers to keep up their training sans snow, says an International Nordic Walking Association master trainer and coach. But it has evolved into a year-round, any-surface way to walk. The variation is excellent cross-training or off-season cardio for other sports because you cooperate, or rather coordinate, muscles from head to toe and keep the heart and lungs pumping, says Svensson. It also increases your endurance while taking stress off your ankle, knee, and hip joints, strengthens your core, arms and chest, back, buttocks, and legs, and improves posture and flexibility. As the motion, with or without poles, improves resting heart rate, blood pressure, maximal oxygen consumption, and more, according to one review. Try it. Syncing your arms and legs is key to optimizing miles, but it may take a bit of practice until it feels rhythmic. While maintaining a natural opposing arm and leg rhythm, plant your pole at a slight backward angle and push off with each step, making the triceps burn and engaging multiple upper body muscles. Keep your arm in a handshake position, Svensson says, with slightly bent elbows that aren't too tight to the body. For scalable challenge, hot girl hikes. What started as hot girl hikes to the tune of over 1 billion views on TikTok evolved into hot girl hikes. The latter simply include an extra bit of planning, a lot more nature, and more rigor. You don't have to set out on your own wild adventure or hit a new summit. A few trail miles will count. Hiking also brings in some added benefits that walking alone doesn't offer. Naturally, you will find more incline, hills, and uneven terrain, and that can increase the workload and challenge you from a fitness perspective more so than a flat road walk, says Rachel Reed, an exercise scientist and American College of Sports Medicine ambassador. Also, expect a balanced workout from uneven surfaces, as well as an emotional lift from being in nature. Exercising in green spaces has been linked to lower levels of the stress hormone cortisol and blood pressure, per a review in Extreme Physiology and Medicine. Try it, but take it easy with a few miles on a flat path to start. Focus on pushing through your heels to engage glutes and release pressure on knees in steep pitches, says the host of the Fit for Hiking podcast and founder of CEO on the site Ponytail on a Trail. If you're wearing a pack, maintain proper posture by squeezing shoulder blades together. For a mental health boost, silent walking. While it might sound more like a spa experience than a workout, a jaunt free of distractions comes with profound mental health benefits. Made famous on social media, silent walking is all about strolling without technology. Leaving music, podcasts, audiobooks, and phone calls behind ideally leads to mindfulness and connection during your journey. But feel free to bring Fido if you want company. Think of it as a walking meditation and a physical activity that gives you a break from the business of your life. As such, the quiet goes deeper than popping out the earbuds. It includes muting the mental chatter with the goal of engaging your senses, your surroundings, and the present. It also opens the opportunity to experience awe, which comes with a host of mind perks unique to this emotion, such as greater kindness and feelings of social connection and community. Feeling daily movements of awe was predictive of better general well-being too, according to multiple recent studies. Try it. Embrace the rhythm of it all. Pay attention to details such as how your legs are moving, your breathing rate, or how your body feels when you walk faster or slower to refocus into the here and now. Remember that this walking takes practice and that mindful meditation is more about acknowledging your thoughts without judgment rather than trying to think about nothing at all. Now that is mind magic. Very interesting. We all move, so we might as well make it a silent meditation. That sounds really good. Next, in fitness, we have every inch counts. The inchworm primes major muscle groups for activity and no equipment needed. This is a full body activator. It's a level 2. So, why we love it? Hey, warm up skippers, no more excuses thanks to this one-stop shop mobility move. It targets the abs and glutes and involves biceps, triceps, shoulders, and calves. We can't forget to shout out the cardio upside too. It elevates your heart rate without impact. While it may look simple, bend and plank, right? There are nuances to proper inchworm form. How to nail it. Step 1. Stand tall with your feet hip-width apart and arms by your sides. Maintain good posture with your core braced. Step 2. Bend forward at the waist, reaching your arms slightly in front of you so you can plant palms on the floor. Step 3. Walk your hands out to a high plank and pause, then reverse the movement to return to start. That's one repetition. Work it in. Almonte Roman incorporates the move into almost every warm-up. She says, do 5 to 10 reps pre-workout. To level up, try not to rush it. Slowing down the sequence puts your muscles under tension for longer, upping the burn. Form check. Your palms, not just your fingertips, should be fully on the floor. Can't get them flat? Bend your knees to get your palms fully on the floor. And challenge mode, to test stability even more, do the entire exercise unilaterally, moving on a single leg. Wow! My goodness, that sounds quite the challenge. Next, in fitness, a stadium of their own. The Kansas City Current's new home is a first for women's sports. I grew up in the 1980s in Kansas City, Missouri. A sporty kid who loved nothing more than playing striker for my elementary school soccer team, the Hot Shots. But my sports heroes, they were all men. Unless it was the Olympics and Mia Hamm was leading the team to gold, you rooted for the guys. Now, young girls and all children will have a dramatically different experience. The Kansas City Current of the National Women's Soccer League is part of that story. The team is playing in the new CPKC Stadium, the first in the world built for women. Two of the women's 4 owners are women. The first is co-owner Brittany Mahomes, a former pro soccer player for a club in Iceland, who is married to NFL Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. The second, Angie Long, is a KC native and former All-American rugby player who runs a successful Kansas City-based mutual fund. Her husband and business partner, Chris, is also a current owner. Patrick is a co-owner. In fact, most of the project leads, from general manager to head of construction, are women. The newly appointed female president of the organization, Raven Jemison, climbed to the corporate ranks of the NHL and NBA, but was sold on the KC current role after one conversation with the Longs, whom she calls visionaries. Jemison says she made the move to build the legacy we all want to have in our careers, knowing that we've made a difference. She adds, "We want the KC Current to be the example of what happens when you invest in women's sports, and actually take a stand and say, this is what's possible." Every female current executive and player I spoke to while reporting this piece was an athlete growing up. And like me, their memory banks overflow with major moments in men's professional sports. Meanwhile, their female-specific memories stem from their own lives, centered on the courts and fields they played on with their teammates. When I asked them to identify their childhood sports heroes, they all named men. "The number of times in high school I wore hand-me-down jerseys from the men's team," says Angie, who was a star soccer player on a team. "You love it. It's your team and you love to compete. But a stadium for women changes everything. No more hand-me-down stadiums." Consider this. In 1985, the players on America's first women's national soccer team, the 85ers, were given a $10 daily stipend when they traveled to Italy for Mondialito, their first international tournament. For uniforms, the team cut up and sewed logos onto their jerseys, which were hand-me-down men's practice shirts the night before flying out. A lot has changed since then. In 2024, there is palpable fan fervor around women's sports. More people tuned in to watch American tennis star Coco Gauff win the U.S. championship last September than watch the men's finals. This year, University of Iowa basketball star Caitlin Clark smashed NCAA scoring records and filled arenas, and also delighted pro sports fans when she declared for the WNBA draft. But it bears repeating that it wasn't so long ago that things were different. Recently, one of Angie's four children, her eldest daughter, a talented volleyball player, asked her if she dreamed of being a professional athlete when she grew up. Which, no, Angie replied, because girls didn't do that. Investing in 75 acres of land plus construction at a cost of about $200 million to build a stadium suggests that the recent swell of interest in women's sports is not just a fad, but a movement. The emotional impact it will have on the women who played for the 85ers, for women like Angie, for women like me, immeasurable. For young girls and boys like my 8 and 12-year-old sons who attended the Current's homeowner opener with me on March 16th, it will, I hope, feel normal that professional female athletes have a facility of their own. The stadium is just going to continue to bring more visibility to women's sports and bring more fans into those doors, says Kristen Hamilton, a KC Current forward. And it won't even just be young girls, but also boys who are going to say, "We're their heroes." That feels surreal to me. But all of this is so much bigger than simply changing the status quo. Excuse me. There is actual math behind it, Angie says, which transcends anything to do with women's sports. In other words, this is no charity project. It's both the right thing to do and the great way to make money for the team and for Kansas City. Financial wins. The Current gets its name from the Missouri River, which runs along the state border between Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. The owners saw a unique opportunity for the team to own a stadium and took on personal financial risk to make it happen. Construction was entirely privately financed by the owners. The Longs traveled the world researching stadiums for inspiration and broke ground in the fall of 2022. The undertaking has moved at warp speed, rocketing from conception to completion in 3 years. A nearby training facility, which includes weight rooms and 2 grass and 1 turf field, was also built. And the owners thought of everything, from eco-conscious design to modern amenities and high-tech security. Each one of the 11,500 seats is within 100 feet of the pitch. There are sustainability and accessibility features, views of the downtown Casey skyline and Missouri River, and a cashless game day purchasing experience. Previously, the current rented time on fields at high schools and universities and in the stadium of the men's hometown MLS team, Sporting KC. The economics of owning your own facility rather than renting in another brand's creates tremendous potential upside for the team. Beyond saving rent money, we will be able to generate $20 million total a year in revenue, Angie says. That big number is possible because myriad revenue streams are available when you own your own stadium. Sponsorship deals, fan stores selling team gear and merchandise, naming rights on the stadium gates, parking revenue, and yes, ticket sales. The Currents season tickets sold out months before opening day, a sign that the Longs calculus is on spot. Plus, the team makes its own schedule rather than puzzling their home games around another team's, which means games can be played during prime time on weeknights and weekends. We spent a lot of time on the economic model. Facilities are an incredible way to unlock so many revenue opportunities that benefit everybody, says Chris. They benefit the team, they benefit the players, they benefit the community. The owners plan to leverage the facility in the off-season too. High school, championships, concerts, possibly even World Cup training workouts. This all means more inspiring events for Kansas Cityans to enjoy and more cash for the Currents. Profits will be reinvested, helping with recruiting, stadium-related costs, and real estate development adjacent to the facility. It will also fund leveled-up coaching and essential support for the players. Injury prevention. Last season, the team endured numerous injuries, contributing to their standing near the bottom of the league. We need everybody on the field. We need everybody available, says Elizabeth Ball, a KC Current defender. So when you're called on, you're ready to go. Now, as of the 2024 preseason, the team has hired new staffers, heads of medical nutrition and rehabilitation, plus psychologists, trainers, and coaches for strength, conditioning, and performance, and partnered with the University of Kansas Health System to monitor each player, keeping them healthy and preventing injuries. Rather than a blanket regimen for the entire squad, individualized plans for training, recovery, and nutrition are created for each player. Recently, the players began wearing heart rate monitors while training to help medical staff flag any potential issues. They also complete a daily wellness questionnaire, providing holistic feedback on their mental, emotional, and physical status. And the players already feel the difference. When we came in, right before preseason, it was crazy how many staff members there were, says Ball. We're standing out on the field and I'm like, there are more of them than us. These upgrades are badly needed in women's sports. Knee injuries, like the dreaded ACL tear for one, disproportionately affect female athletes for various hormonal, anatomical, and biomechanical reasons. The owners have also invested in injury prevention infrastructure, foregoing turf, which is correlated with a higher incidence of injury, for more expensive grass, and installing heaters underneath the field to keep the surface soft, even on the coldest spring days. While the investment in the infrastructure and the staff is the first of its kind, We hope it's not the last, says Camille Ashton, the team's general manager. I think the new standard we're setting in what these professional players experience and how they're treated is monumental. Hometown pride. As a KC native, I can confirm that we love our tiny, mighty Midwestern city. The people are kind, the culture is vibrant, and the food is awesome. And it will be front and center at the new stadium. There will also be vegan and gluten-free fare on the offer, a boon for fans with special dietary needs. Nothing used for food service, beverage containers, plates, cutlery, etc. will become trash. Instead, it will be collected, washed, and reused at future games. The owners have made energy-efficient decisions at every turn and are applying for LEED certification, the leading sustainability award. The stadium is going to continue to bring more visibility to women's sports and bring more fans into those doors. Boys are going to say, we're their heroes. This aesthetic and vibes will also reflect Kansas City's history and culture, including its 1920s jazz town roots. Our main objective was that we did not want to create a design that could be picked and placed anywhere, says stadium design lead Christina Franklin, who's head of the interior design at the local architecture firm Generator Studio. We thought about what defines a lot of the architectural design and interior design of Kansas City, and we integrated those elements within the stadium. The result is Art Deco moments, such as checkerboard detailing, as well as fishtail patterns, plus artwork by local KC artists. Finishing touches. Fans will find other Easter eggs at the stadium too, like the iconic Title IX installation, a wall embellished with the words of that historic legislation, which passed in 1972 as an addendum to the 14th Amendment to prevent sex-based discrimination at schools, is situated between the locker rooms and the field. The teams will walk directly in front of it as they enter the field. Every player who comes and plays in that stadium, every little kid will have completely different expectations now of what it means to be a professional female athlete, says Angie. Once something like this is built, you can't unsee it. She invited the 85ers to the Currents home opener. 15 of the 17 were in attendance and got to witness a new chapter in women's athletics. Even the Currents locker room is purpose-built. It's oval-shaped, so every player has an equitable position within the space. The athletes feel the gravitas when they walk inside and see their team logo, their names on the lockers, their red and teal colors. The colors bring back memories of my favorite pair of Converse high tops, which I daringly lace up back at my Catholic elementary school. The bright teal hue broke the rules of our strict dress code and landed me in the principal's office. I still remember how hard it was to deal with the exhilaration, the subsequent anguish of pushing the limits and then being told, no, you can't do that. After school, I hustled my little heart out at soccer practice with my Hot Shots teammates because on the field, I felt as if anything and everything were possible. For me, those hues will forever represent passion and possibility, and soon the same will be true for a new generation of kids. Well, my friends, we've reached the end of our time together. Hope you've enjoyed this issue of Women's Health Magazine. My name is Susie Bartlett. Go make it a great day. Bye-bye.